The mighty name of Jesus, backed up by the blood of Jesus. There's nothing more powerful. Nothing more powerful. I want to honor the fathers today. You can come forward, Pastor Steve. We thank all of our fathers, and you know, it seems like there's been such an assault against men, godly men especially. Dads, we love you. We need you. Your spouses need you. Your kids need you to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I'm so thankful for Pastor Steve. You've been an amazing father. You've been a great pastor. Thanks for all the dads up here. You know, you need
blessings,
the wisdom
guys.
Of God. You need the wisdom of God to know how to lead and guide and direct. And God helps you. He strengthens you. There's lots of grandpas who have raised kids. There's lots of uncles who have stepped in and raised kids. So if you fit that father role, you should pat yourself on the back, because we commend you for being strong and for being a godly man. We pray for you that the blood of Jesus would cover you and your homes, your kids, and that you would be able to lead well, live well, be healthy, do all the things that God has put in your hearts. So we honor you this morning in Jesus' name.
Thank you. That's excellent. What a nice thing to say. Father, we honor you. We give you glory and praise and thanks. We love you so much, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you. And we thank you for your precious word that we're about to receive. And Father, I pray that every dad that might be under the sound of our voice would read their Bible, that would spend time in prayer, that would seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and all these things would be added unto them. We thank you for every man in this room today and every one man watching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Happy Father's Day to anyone and everyone. And just a day to lift up. You know, we can lift up men. We just, you know, we need strong men, and we need courageous men. We need, the way you become strong and the way you become courageous is to be a doer of the word. Well, what word? Any word that you're in at that time, do it. Practice what you preach. Practice what you believe. Practice what we want to happen. Jesus said all things are possible to him, her, anyone that will believe what he says. And if we hold fast to our profession of faith without wavering, he's faithful, that promised. And so we don't look at what if, but, we look at yes, yes, and amen. And if you could come from what if, but, to yes and amen. If you could change your attitude to yes and amen, what do you do in a yes and amen? You'd be agreeable. The Bible says if two of us agree on earth as touching anything we ask, it shall be done of our Father who is in heaven. And so we want to be in agreement. We want to, you know, we don't agree with anything and everything and everybody. And we don't have to, and we don't expect anyone to, and you better not. You better not agree with the world. You need to agree with the kingdom. You need to agree with the Lord. You need to agree with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And you need to agree, the closest thing you have is your Bible. You need to agree with the Bible. We need to quit, you know, tearing pages out saying, I don't believe that, and tear another page, I don't believe that, and I don't believe that. No, you believe what the Word says. Because, you know, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Not he that's in the Word. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And that means that, I'm just going to put a few scriptures together there. It means that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm a doer of God's word. I seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things are added to me. So we could go on and on confessing God's word, and I boom, challenge men. I challenge dads. I challenge fathers. I challenge males. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Put God's word first place. That's the only answer to true success in life. Things begin to change. They don't change overnight just because you decided you're going to do this. But when you stick to it, when you make the commitment, when you stick and stay in the word, the Bible is truth, and it will change your life, and you'll never, never go back. Not going back to the way you used to be. All right, well, welcome, everybody. Good afternoon, good morning for Father's Day. We honor our fathers today, and we honor our Heavenly Father. Father, we honor you. We love you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, for your precious Holy Spirit. We honor you for your word, and we thank you again for today, for everyone that is a dad. We honor you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Even if your dad is a lost soul or completely unworthy human being, maybe you feel that your dad deserves the worst. Well, we need to change that. We need to change from that dark opinion and have an optimistic opinion, because faith is an optimist. Fear is, you know, is negative, and we want to be in faith. We want to be in faith and believe that no matter how bad somebody was, that anybody can change. If we dug out the truth out of all of our lives, you know, there'd be some pretty weird human beings in our midst that have come out of darkness into the marvelous light. And so your dad, your family members can come out of darkness into the marvelous light. But somebody's got to intercede. Intercede is a go-between. Intercede is somebody who will pay a price. There's a price to pay to see your loved ones saved. It means that I'm going to take time to seek God for my family. I'm not just going to throw up a couple of bare bones prayers for my family. No, I'm going to intercede. I'm going to pray and maybe get on my knees and go for a walk praying in the Spirit, or whatever you need to do to press towards that mark for the prize. What's the prize in this instance would be your father, your dad, the males in your family, to come to Christ and be sold out to God. That's what our objective is. And we pray for this church. We pray for the men in this church to be sold out, to hunger and thirst after righteousness, to be doers of the word, to seek first his kingdom, and all these things will be added unto them. So even if that person is a lost soul or completely unworthy, they I repeat myself, that they deserve the worst. There are many that we would just like to say forget it, but nevertheless, we are praying for them to come out of darkness into the marvelous light. Do it as an act of submission to our Father God and his word. Sometimes we, and you know what, we understand that there are some horrible memories that we just want to forget and let that go. I'm not going back into that thought pattern again. I'm free. But yet we do it, you know, because we want to be the go-between, be the intercessor. And you don't have to be a person that comes to every prayer meeting to be an intercessor. Intercessor just means it's someone who prays for other people. You know, if you just pray for yourself all the time, you know what that means. I'm not even going to say what it means. If you just pray for yourself, because we need to put self behind us and get out in front of other people. Get out in front of our wife or our husband or our children or our grandchildren or our families or our work coworkers or bosses. You know, who wants to pray for their boss? But nevertheless, you know what? It can benefit you if you do. You know, all these things work together. All things work together for good for them who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, what did he do? He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Conformity to the image of his Son means that Jesus put his own flesh under, he put his own will under, he put his own everything under, and went to the cross to the point where he sweat great drops of blood in, you know, some of us consider it might have been the mental warfare or spiritual warfare or obviously agony. If you are under pressure to the degree that blood comes out of your pores. Christians, the Bible's true. So you must accept, and I'm going to challenge you right now, you must accept that blood came out of his pores in that moment in the garden when he knew he was going to go to the cross, and he knew he was going to be put on that cross, and he was going to get nails through his hands and his feet, and that he was going to hang there until he died, gave up the ghost. And so, you know, We remind ourselves of these things. And on Father's Day, that's not necessarily, you know, that's an Easter message or a resurrection message. It's an every Sunday message, but nevertheless, we're talking about dads, and we're talking about praying for our dad or our father or our brother or somebody we know in the male species that would submit themselves, surrender themselves. And that's how you intercede for other people. You pray for them to surrender to God, to yield to God, and let God be God in their life. And miraculously, people change, and they do. They come out of darkness into the light, and you go, how did that happen? Well, somebody's praying, somebody's believing, and somebody is standing. So in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, the New Living Translation, honor your father and your mother, then you will live long. Well, let's live long. Let's just... hey, if my mom or my dad or anybody is, you know, maybe we think they're unworthy of our prayers, but nevertheless, this says if you honor your father and your mother, you'll live a long life, a full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So that's the New Living Translation of Exodus 20:12. Jesus Christ always honored his father. Well, that's not a hard thing to comprehend. Even in the garden when he was sweating great drops of blood, he said, Father, take this cup from me, but not my will, but thine be done. And so we know that he honored his father. And so we believe that Jesus' instructions to you and I are that we pray to the Father in Jesus' name. And so I just want to press on that a moment, just for a moment. Growing up into Christ, growing up means that we do what the Scripture tells us to do. And we're detailed. We don't just blow through it and go, I think that's right. No, we look at it, we see what it says, and then our objective is to do what the Bible says. And the Bible says that we pray to the Father in Jesus' name. So I hear a lot of people going, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And of course, we love to talk to Jesus. But the Bible says to pray, Jesus said to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. So Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray to you in Jesus' name. And I end my prayers with Jesus' name, because that's the keys that unlock a lot of prayers that some people go, well, why isn't God hearing my prayers? Well, first off, come out of darkness. Okay, that's the first step of God hearing your prayers. I mean, sometimes God is just gracious enough to answer people's prayers even when they're caught in the depths of darkness. God's a miracle worker. He sees things we don't understand, and so that can happen. But generally, he expects us, you know, to make movements towards God, step towards God, making steps and progress towards God. And God is he's a rewarding God. He rewards those that diligently seek him. What's my problem? Maybe you don't diligently seek him. Maybe you come to church, maybe you sing, maybe you do a lot of nice stuff, but you don't diligently seek God because he's only God on Sunday. And then Monday through Saturday, I do my thing, man. You know, so he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And so diligence, what is diligence? It just means it's not sloppy, it's not lazy, it's not weak. It's taking and stepping up. Everybody in this room that's listening, everybody watching, you can step up. We're going to another level. It's a song we've sang for years, and that would be, I'm going to step into a new place in God. And that's your encouragement today, that all of us can step up. There's always higher to go, because God is limitless, exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. So that is the key there. All right, so Jesus always honors his father. And in Luke 11:2, he said, when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, that's the Lord's Prayer. I frankly don't ever pray the Lord's Prayer, because that to me is it's the Word of God. It's a Jesus' prayer. But he told me I can talk to the Father as a father. I can talk to God as God. I can talk to Jesus as Jesus. I can talk to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit. I am always honorable, but I talk to him regularly. It's not, a lot of times it's not formal. I mean, If I'm formal in my prayers, it's generally when I come into my prayer time, I'm formal. But when I'm outside of formal, or when I'm outside in my car, or I'm doing something, or I'm at work or something, I just talk to God. I have a relationship, a communion going with the Holy Spirit. And so we're conversing back and forth. So if you ever see me and I'm all by myself when I'm talking, then you can hopefully give me the slack to know that I am talking to my Heavenly Father. But I guess I've learned, because I talk out loud to the Father all the time, and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that a lot of times I talk to myself out loud too. So you may be right at that instance, but I don't really mind if you see me, because I'm a doer of the word and I pray. So it's not, please don't misunderstand me. It's simply to help someone see that we can step out of our discomfort zone into a comfort zone of prayer and fellowship with God. And so I use myself in his example, not saying, whoa, look at Steve, not like that. It's to be just an example and help somebody who needs to be helped. All right, so the Apostle Paul always honors God the Father, every Christian again. 24 times in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul refers to God as our Father. So probably anybody that was raised in a religious home, maybe a Catholic home, maybe whatever, Protestant, whatever kind of home you're in, everyone knows that the Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so we know these things. And Ephesians 4:6, there says that there is one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. So we acknowledge that as what it says right there, that God is everywhere all the time. The Spirit of God is everywhere. You cannot go anywhere where the Spirit of God is not there. And so even though in the darkest place in your life, the Holy Ghost can be there, because he is God and he can go wherever he wants. He owns it all. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And so we know that I don't have to be afraid, even in the most darkest places and the darkest times, that we know that our Father God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the third person of the divine Godhead, the Holy Spirit, is there. Whoever is in our presence between those three, it's the Holy Spirit here on earth, and therefore I believe it and I stand on it and I expect it, and I've learned to get rid of fear, because fear does not allow the Spirit of God to bring faith into your heart. And so in every way possible, I am fighting, rejecting, and resisting fear. And I, above all, my brothers and sisters, is do not speak fear out of your mouth if you can help it. What do you say then when I'm afraid? Just say, Lord, help me. And he knows what's going on with you if you say help. And that would be a better way than say, Lord, I'm afraid. I mean, you know, the disciples, when they were in the boat and the storm came up, and they ran to Jesus, Lord, we're afraid. Well, yeah, man. Anyway, I don't know what makes you afraid, but being on a lake or an ocean or Superior or one of the big lakes, whatever, and a storm comes up, it's terrifying. And we understand that the waves come over, and those ships that they say ships, but they were just big boats. They weren't ships, you know. And so when those waves start coming over and they're rowing the boat, you know, and Jesus is asleep because he's been ministering for days and he's been walking and everything. And so he's just really wasted and he's out, you know. And so he's sleeping. And so, you know, hey, Lord, don't you care that we perish? And Jesus got up and he spoke to the wind. And he said, peace be still. And he looked at them, he said, where is your faith? Why were you so fearful? And they scratched their heads going, we're just in a hurricane on a lake. Obviously, hurricanes are oceans, right? But it's like the worst weather on a lake you could ever experience. And there's water coming in the boat. We're bailing. I mean, these weren't luxury liners. These were wooden boats, you know, and wow. And Jesus gets up and he says, peace be still. And the whole thing just stopped. Christians, we need to believe God. We need to believe that there's that kind of miraculous power available to us as Christians. Don't put a limit on God. Do not cap him at what I can't believe. You change your belief to take the cap off the maximum that you said God can do. God can do all things. God is powerful. He's the universe. Man, you know, we don't know anything about the universe. You don't know anything outside of our solar system. You don't. There could be a zillion of them. There could be, I'm not going to extraterrestrial stuff right now, but there could be civilizations that we have no concept of. Because God doesn't have a beginning and it doesn't have an end. So there's stuff out there that, I mean, the universe is so big that there could be a zillion Earths. Not exactly this Earth, but planets that are habitable. How back, far back does everything go? So that's a question. That's fun to think about. If you like that stuff, if you like space, if you like, you know, rockets, and you like, you know, planets and solar systems and universes and stars and all that stuff, it's a fun thing to think about, because God is so big. We're not just in this one tiny little planet in this one tiny little solar system, and then right at the edge is a wall, and there's nothing on the other side. You know what they say? If you keep going in that direction, you'll come this way. And if you go that way, if you go long enough, you'll come this way. I don't know how. Amen. All right, so God, our Father of all, who is above all and through all. 1 Thessalonians 3:13, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So the people that have gone on before us, if Jesus comes for us in the rapture of the church, when he catches us away, he's going to come with those that are with him, and we'll all be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with him. Colossians 1:13 says, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. All right, so we acknowledge and we want to fit into our Christianity that we pray to the Father in Jesus' name. We acknowledge the Father. We acknowledge Jesus, his sacrifice, everything Jesus did. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our God. Absolutely. He's the second person of the divine Godhead. We have the Father. We have the Son. And then, of course, we acknowledge the Holy Spirit. It's not one God. It's not one. It's three in one person, and we acknowledge that. Some denominations don't. They just say one God, and he is one God, but it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Only those who do the will of my Father, not those who say, Lord, Lord. Okay, I just cut to a scripture where Jesus said, what about those who say, Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Okay, so if you're going to call God Lord, Lord, and that's a challenge for all of us, for me, for my wife, everybody, that if we're going to call God Lord, then we need to do the things that he says. And so Jesus said again in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. So there are a lot of people out there that are in, they're walking a line. Most people out there are not in. They're not in. You know, we can pretend and believe, oh yeah, they're in. They said Jesus is Lord, but they live contrary to everything. But in this case, we know that there's so many out there, but not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he or she that does the will of my Father. That's Matthew 7:21. I mean, if you open your New Testament and that's all you got, it doesn't take long to get to Matthew 7 if you read for half an hour. And when you get to 7:21, Jesus says, not everyone that calls me Lord, Lord is going to get into heaven. Really? Yeah, God is not just handing out get out of jail cards free and just, hey, do anything you want, but just keep saying Jesus is Lord and boom, you're in for sure. No, God expects a change of heart, a change of life, a change of family, change of residence from to. We can name a lot, but not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord. Father's will is the same as the Lord's will. Be ye, James 1:22, be doers of the word, not hearers only. All right, so that's heavy. That's a heavy instruction. But everybody needs to hear that, because if we go into churches that always say you're safe, you're saved, you're good, and you walk out and you never seek the word, the Apostle Paul said, be ye doers of the word. Or James said it in James 1:22. Yeah, my wife is, as soon as we get in the car, you said, you know, she's helping, my helper, But James 1:22. So James said, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Going back to the Apostle John 5:30, Jesus says, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. All right, so in Jesus' humanity, right now we know Jesus can do anything and everything. He's God. But in his humanity as God, he said, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is righteous. All right, going on in Revelation 1:6, the Bible says that God has made us kings and priests unto his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. All right, so where do we go from the things that I said, where we're moving from that carnal attitude of really not being sold out or committed. Now we're moving in that direction as we change our life in the right direction. And now the Bible says that he's made us kings and priests to his God and Father. And so when we consider that the reality, king and priest unto my God, that is an outside-the-box statement right there. How many Christians really act or believe that they are kings and priests unto God? Basically, what we are is we're representatives of the kingdom of God. You and I are representatives wherever we go. So if I'm out there and I'm driving, stand on the horn and, give somebody a fist, you tried to run me off the road or something like that. Remember that we are kings and priests unto our God and Father, and we want to, represent God to the best of our ability. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. All right, so Father, the word Father is found in the King James 990 times. That must be close to number one in the whole Bible. Father's found 990 in the last New King James, 852 in the King James. So whatever version you read, it's in there a lot. So that is something that we must be conscious of. We're Father conscious. And Jesus came to reveal the Father to all mankind, to every man, woman, every child, every creature, revealing Jesus to them. So how does Jesus tell us? I mean, the Apostle Paul tells us, all the prophets tell us, the whole Bible tells us how to relate to Jesus. But one of the most basic and comforting ways to relate to Jesus, or to relate to the Father, pardon me, is to read the prodigal son and to see how much he loves us, how much he wants us to come back to him. But he's not going to stand in the way of a person making choices that are contrary to him. And I just, you have the freedom of choice. That's what true freedom is. I get to choose. Thank God for the United States of America. If you're a hater in here, or if you're a hater that's watching, get off your high horse. We live in an incredible country. It's not, we got problems, we got things that are wrong, but man, what a blessing to live in a free country. What a blessing to live, even when I complain about the politics of this state, I still live in a very, very beautiful state. I live in a beautiful country, and I am very grateful to God that I am an American. I live in the United States of America. My parents came through World War II, and there's a lot of World War II stuff on that you can watch the videos, and they told us stories, but it was hard to really understand what it was like to have a mule and a cart and try and pack your stuff onto the cart and a horse, maybe a horse or a mule, whatever you had, and to pack whatever you could pack onto that cart, and your family walked away from your home because the Russians are coming from there, the Germans are coming from there, and there's war in between, bombs are going off. It's horrible in World War II. And so the stories that they told us, it was hard to understand and comprehend because we live in the United States of America, and you've never heard a bomb go off unless it's a firecracker or you're somewhere in the hood and somebody blows something up. But otherwise, we don't live that way. But they lived lived that way. They came from Europe. They came across the ocean. And we see these videos of the wars that were going on. And we're grateful that we don't have to live in that kind of a world. You need to be grateful and quit. We can't. We need to be loyal. We're loyal to God, but appreciate and loyalty to this country. I don't like the president, or I don't like the vice president, or I don't like the legislature. I don't like this or that. I don't like Republicans. I don't like Democrats. Hey, listen, you're blessed. You're blessed to be in the United States of America. We are blessed. I'm saying this. I'm not telling you what to think. I'm suggesting to you that we should be grateful. We should be thankful that you have no idea how horrible and miserable it was. What people have gone through. Maybe you're saying, I'm going through stuff. Yeah, well, I'm telling you right now to somebody, put God first place and things will change. Is it that simple? Putting God first is not simple, but the change is simple for God. It's not that big a deal. But if you aren't putting God first, God has no obligation to answer faithless, fearful, doubting, negative, sinful prayers. God's not obligated to answer those kinds of prayers. He's gracious, he's merciful, and he's kind to you, even in that circumstance, in that kind of life, and you're crying out to God. Yes, he's gracious, his grace is sufficient, but he's not obligated to fix things for you when you live like that. The Bible says, come out of darkness into the marvelous light. Leave the world behind and I'll receive you as a son. And that's what we're going to talk about right now. We're going to talk about the prodigal son. How did God treat the prodigal son? And in Luke 15:11, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. I mean, it would be like today, Dad, I'm leaving, give me half of what's supposed to come to me, and have Dad write you a check, and you go to the bank and deposit your check. Now I got all this money, I got an instant cash card, and I'm just going to keep drawing out money because I'm living a life. I'm going downtown to party, I'm going to smoke weed, I'm going to do drugs, I'm going to chase prostitutes, I'm going to live wild because I got Dad's money. Dad gave him the money. The younger son said, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered it all together, journeyed to a far country, and he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Some of them clearly define what is prodigal living. It's anti-Christ living. It's anti-God living. It's doing everything that, instead of what God wants you to do, it's everything that God doesn't want you to do. Hey, friend, if you're in that circumstance right now and you're fighting God and you're doing everything that God says don't do instead of doing everything that God says to do, you know what I got to say to you? Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto myself. Touch not the unclean thing. But everybody's touching the unclean thing. I want to change. I hated that. I want to be I understand real Christianity. Real Christianity doesn't touch the unclean thing. We make mistakes once in a while. We do stupid stuff once in a while. We're not perfect all the time, but we aren't touching the unclean thing. That's not part of our life anymore. Come out of darkness into the light and let go of the past. Let go of self. Let go of the flesh. The flesh is the biggest enemy we have. He's the one the flesh is what wants. I want. I want to go back here. I want to be over here. I want to participate. I want to do. And the Spirit says, no, come out from among them and be separate. And then that's what Christianity is all about. I'm coming out from among them and I'm being separate. I'm separating myself. Am I perfect? No, but I'm growing. I'm getting higher and higher in my walk with God. I'm getting closer to God. And then, you stumble and you fall at times and, man, you pick yourself up and you go, man, I lost some rungs on the ladder. I slipped down a bunch of rungs on the ladder and here I go again. I'm going to climb back up into this, into being a doer of the word. Hey, if you fell on your face, Christians, join the club. We've all fallen on our face, and some of us have fallen on our faces many, many times. But the secret of success is to get back up. You know, they asked some Jewish people, what is the secret of your success? And they said, you never quit. And when you fail, you get right back up and you try again. And you never stop trying. Okay, that's what the Jews say. What we say is, I'm never going to surrender to the world. I'm never going to give up my faith in Christ. I'm going to come out of darkness. You got to start saying it. You got to say what you're going to do. Whosoever shall say to the mountain, I'm coming out of darkness. I'm going to be a doer of the word. I'm going to seek first his kingdom. You say what you want. Don't say what I'm not going to do anymore. Don't even bring it up anymore. Just turn your back on it. Say, I have come out of darkness. Now I'm in the marvelous light. I'm going to live for Christ. I'm going to be a doer of the world. I'm going to seek first his kingdom. I'm going to love God. I'm going to put God first. I'm going to love him with all my heart, my life, and soul. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to serve in the church. I'm going to live my life for Christ until he comes to get me or I die. Somebody has already made, and many of you have already made that commitment. Others of you are half in and half out, maybe. I don't know if you are or not. And then there's some that are struggling to even get in. Thank God you came to church, because we're calling you out. Calling out for the last time. It's getting real close to the end of the line. I'm calling out for those who will receive me. Mark Farner song. Grand Funk Railroad got born again. Now he sings for Christ and he puts out Christian music. He says, getting real close to the line, for those who will receive me. Calling out for the last time. It's the last days, Christians. So when he says last time, any second could be the last time. Calling out for the last time, getting real close to the end of the line, calling out for those who will receive me. So I'm believing everybody here has received Christ. Now let's get in. And you know what I believe? I believe in enjoying Christianity. I believe in enjoying your faith, enjoying your Christianity, that God is good all the time, and that I want to get into the goodness of God, the favor of God, the blessing of God, the life of God, the everything that he has. There's so much more that he has for you, but I need to not have one foot in pulling me. God, I want what you've got, but you're letting the world pull you. I'm not saying that's anybody in here or what. One person, maybe somebody, or maybe everybody, who knows? But I know you better than that. I know this church. I know the people in this church. There's some devout, consecrated, holy people. Really? Devout, consecrated, holy? Yeah, you can be. Every one of us can be. It's just crucifying our flesh. Oh, no, no. Yeah, it's crucifying our flesh. Be ye doers of the word. Seek first the kingdom. Put God first. Amen. All right. So the son went, and after many days, he took off to a far country, wasted his possession, prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine. Guys, you know what, ladies and gentlemen? It could be the best economy the United States has ever experienced. But when you're running from God, you can get into hell. When I say hell, a lifestyle that is like the worst. We believe that when you serve God faithfully, your hands begin to prosper. What we put our hands to will prosper. But when you get out there, everything you touch seems to fail. And God lets us fail. God lets us get into our own messes. God lets our finances sink. God lets our bodies feel pain. God lets things happen when we're out there. Sin will cause pain. Sin will cause suffering. Rebellion will get you in the situation that he got into by rebelling from his father. Oh, it was good for a while. He got the cash from dad and he went partying, man. He was living it up he's running Hennepin Avenue and jumping bar to bar and hanging out with the partiers and doing all the things parties doing, drugs and alcohol and sex and everything. But there came a time when there was a severe famine in the land and he began to to be in want. Verse 15 says, then he went and joined himself to the citizens of that country, and they sent him into the fields to feed swine. So the best that he could do now, before he was, yeah, I'm decked out, man, I'm going out tonight. Where are you going tonight? I'm going on to town. Yeah, everything's good. I got cash in my pocket. I got drugs on me. I've got booze. I got women. I got everything I need to have a party, man. Well, it all ran out. And now he's saying to the same people, what are we going to do? And they said, hey, we got some pigs you can feed. Why don't you just go out in the field and we'll let you feed the pigs? That is a symbol. Feeding the pigs is a symbol of the pig pen. You are now in the official pig pen of life. All of us have experienced the pig pen of life. Some of us worse than others because we were stubborn. We were rebellious. We had thick-headed. Come out from the pig pen. Come out from the rebellion. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Somebody goes, well, that's why I'm in the pig pen, because I was running from Jesus. Jesus will find you, and he'll bring a clean washcloth, and he'll wipe your eyes off, and he'll wipe your nose off so you can breathe. He'll wipe your mouth so you don't chew on dirt, and he'll clean you off. And he'll put his hands on his shoulders, on your shoulders, and he'll look you in the eyes. He'll say, son, daughter, I love you. You don't have to live this way, but I'm giving you the freedom to choose the way you choose to live. But if you come out of that world, I'll put a ring on your finger. I'll put a robe on your back. We'll have a party for you, because you who were lost have been found and you've come home. I'm talking about myself. I tried to run the world. I tried to run with the crew. I tried to do all the things that were cool. I wanted to be cool. And that seemed to be cool. But the more things went well in that world, the worse I was on the inside. The more I craved to be clean. The more I craved to be delivered. The more I craved to be out of that circumstance. And I knew, thank God, I had a Christian background. All I got to do is walk away. So many people go, man, I just can't walk away. No, you just walk away. One day you say, I'm out, I'm done, it's over, no more, but I'm not going back to the way I used to be. And you walk out. And you know what the Father does? He smacks you upside the head and says, you're a punk, son. You're worthless scum. No, he doesn't. He puts a ring on your finger. He puts a robe on your back. He says, kill that fatted calf. We're having a barbecue. We're having a party. We're going to celebrate. My son was lost, and now he's come home. We're a family again. Son, I love you. I forgive you. You're worth everything to me. That's real. That's real. I testify today, the goodness of God has led me to repentance. Not now. I mean, it's been 30, 40 years that I've been serving God to the best of my ability. But back then, back in those days, way back, when I bowed my head and I said, I was miserable. It was like I felt like I had grease and dirt all over me. Just felt scummy. That's what the world will do. It'll make you feel scummy. And, you know, it looked decent, but I was miserable. And I knew if I repented, I don't take repentance lightly. Father, I'm not just going to keep repenting and repenting and repenting and repenting and repenting, even though I did. I want to get to a place where when I repent, man, I'm walking the walk. I'm coming out of darkness and I'm going to walk the walk. Why? Just because he's a good God. He's an excellent father. He's so gracious and he's so loving and he's so kind that when the prodigal son came out of that pig pen and he came back to his father and he said, Father, I don't deserve any blessing. I don't deserve any favor. I don't deserve anything. Just give me a job, will you? And he said, you're my son. We're celebrating. We're having a party. My son has come home. Put a ring on his finger and a robe on his back. We're having a party for you. And so they're celebrating. And then older brother comes out from the field and he sees in a distance, what is going on? Man, there's music, there's singing, there's dancing, there's celebrating. I can smell the barbecue pit. Man, something's going on. And then he realizes from one of the servants that your brother's come home. And he's kind of offended, man. He goes, well, I never left. I never had this giant of a party. What's up with that? And, you know, his father said, son, you've always been with me. Everything I have is yours. So some of us need to appreciate where we're at if we haven't been prodigal. And we need to welcome the prodigals back into the family and allow them to come in. But prodigal, I'm calling out to you right now. Be real. Be real. Don't be phony. What does real mean? Do I have to say hallelujah, raise my hand, and, you know, dance a little bit? No, you don't have to do anything like that. Just be genuine in your heart. None of us can read your heart. You know, if I'm talking to somebody out there. You tuned into us. It's not be phony. It's be genuine in your heart. Relate to God from your heart. It's between you and him. He's genuine to you. You be genuine to him. You admit when you go, God, I don't know. I don't know if I can do what you want me to do. I don't know if I can surrender the way you say surrender. I don't know if I can stay in the word like you said and spend time in prayer and seek you like that. I don't know if I can do that. And the father says, son, I understand, but I'm still calling you upward. I'm still calling you to come higher, come closer to me. And Christians, this is how a relationship is built. This is how Christianity works. And I heard this just a split second. I heard this, half in, half out. And it was a sour, sour sound to me. Half in, half out is not successful Christianity. I'm half in, now half out. I'm half in. I'm on a board. So, verse 20, he arose and came to his father, but when he was still great far away off, the father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son who is dead is alive again. He's who was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now the older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what things this meant. And he said to him, your brother has come home because he's received him safe and sound. Your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and he would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, all these many years I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours who came and has devoured his livelihood with harlots and killed the fatted calf, you've killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead, and he's alive again, and was lost, and is found. Hallelujah for this prodigal son story. Amen. So, as we get closer to our conclusion here, just going into from a simple prodigal son story parable, we can take a deeper dive, and let's go into Romans chapter 8, verse 17. It says, If we are his children, and we are the children of God, then we are his heirs also. heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Whoa, what does that really mean? Here's what it means. I think this is amplified. It's a sharing his spiritual blessings and inheritance. There's a scripture I say all the time. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, do I figure out what that means, or do I take it literally? It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I'm taking it literally. That I have a share in the kingdom of God. How is that possible? He owns it all. And yet, it is the Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. I'm a joint heir with Christ Jesus. I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ. The Bible says, the Apostle Paul said, that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ. That means that we're in Christ and we're seated in heavenly places far above all principality, all power, all the rulers of the darkness of this world, all spiritual wickedness. We're seated in heavenly places. If you recognize who you are in Christ and where you are seated with Him, you'll look at things different. If you'll believe this, because this is what Paul said you are, this is your inheritance, this is your right, that you are seated with Christ. While you don't know me, yes, in Christ, Christ sees you as perfect, and when he saw your perfection in salvation, you were seated with him in Christ at the right hand of the Father, far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named. You are above and not beneath. Now the blessing of Abraham can come on you. The blessing of Abraham, that's Old Testament. Hey, we want everything we can get. And the blessing is Abraham, of Abraham, you're in the head and not the tail. What does that mean? I'd rather be the head than the butt. Are you a butt? Or are you a head? I want to be the head, not the tail. I want to be above and not beneath. Above what? Circumstances or whatever. Name your issue. Above the circumstances, not beneath them. Beneath circumstances mean I'm getting beat. Christians, I don't want to be beat. I don't want to get whooped. I'm willing to fight to not get whooped. That's what Christians do. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. I'm a doer of the word. I seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all of these things added to me. I'm not going to live that right over here. I'm not going to be the tail. Too many of us are accepting being the tail. Pin the tail on the donkey. Where? Right above his butt. Put that tail on there, and that's where I am. I'm the monkey butt or the donkey butt. And I'm just walking around. Yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I'm just the donkey butt. I'm the monkey butt. I'm the butt. No more. It's your choices. Choices. Freedom of choice. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. No, but I'm going to go back and be the monkey butt again, the donkey butt. No. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm a blessing going somewhere to happen. God is on my side. If God be for me, who can be against me? He's opened the windows of heaven and poured me out blessings, and I don't have room enough to contain them all. He's rebuked the devourer for my sake. My vines don't cast their fruit before their time in the field, and everything I put my hands to prospers. What? Everything I put my hands to failed. Now in Christ, everything I put my hands to prospers. Seriously, are you testing this? Are you testing putting your hands, or are you just terrified and you're just standing there and I'm not leaning back and I'm not leaning forward. I'm just going to say, no, put your hand to the plow. Reach out, receive the favor, receive the blessing, receive the gift, receive the life of God. Enjoy the blessing, enjoy the favor. What happened to the prodigal? He says, Father, I deserve to be the monkey butt or the donkey butt. But no, come son, I'll put an expensive robe on your back. We're wealthy people. We can have a robe on our back. We can have the best feet coverings. We can have a clean shower. We can be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we can be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. And we can be blessed and not cursed. The curse is back here when you reject the grace of God. You are saying that I'd rather live in the curse. The curse is out there. The curse is in everything. But Christians can live above and in the blessing and the favor and the grace and the mercy and the love. And I probably said love several times. I'll say love, 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 love. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. We live in love. In Him we live and move and have our being. The love of God is upon us. We are in His family. We're in His presence. We're in His goodness. We're in His life. We're in His joy. We're in His peace. We're in His long-suffering. We're in His long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. This is all the fruit that are moving it forward. And the old life is gone, and it's shrinking. It's being buried, and it's gone. I don't see it anymore. I don't hear it anymore. I don't know it anymore. It's different. The world is at peace with Steve. The world is at peace with you. Seek peace, the Bible says, and pursue it. Seek the peace that passes understanding. God said that if you will seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. I'm going to move God on my chessboard from being a little pawn to His rightful place, to be the king, the queen, and the rooks. I think I haven't played chess in 30 years, so I don't remember what the powerful ones, the king, the queen, and the rooks, I think, whatever. Now He's moved you. Automatically, when you accepted Christ, these blessings were yours. These blessings were yours. But how many of us don't believe the Word of God? Or how many of us don't read it? We don't search the Scriptures to find out if these things are true. I would recommend, and I would be upset if you didn't search the Scriptures to find out if what I'm telling you is true. Because I can back up every single thing I say by the Word of God. That's why I'm a pastor. Because the pastor should be able to back everything. I'm not teaching you anything outside the kingdom. The kingdom of God is if a man should cast seed into the ground and sleep and rise night and day, the seed should spring and grow up. He knows not how. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn of the ear. And when the harvest has come, he puts in a sickle. What is Christianity about? Harvest. You can harvest, but you got to plant some seeds. What are the seeds? This is the incorruptible seed of God's Word. You start planting the seed of God's Word that is incorruptible in the soil of your heart. That's where it's intended to be. It used an analogy of a farmer and seeds and the ground. This is the ground. The kingdom of God is if a man should cast seed into his own ground. It's your heart. Cast this seed into your heart. Where do I start? Read some Proverbs or one-liners. Put a one-liner in your heart. Memorize a one-liner. It's a seed. You know what it's going to grow up to do? Produce more seeds. It's going to produce fruit. Absolutely. We want fruit, but it's going to produce more seeds. And then you go, oh, I'm going to go hear what Jesus said. And that's a promise right there. Well, I'm going to take that promise. I'm going to put it in my heart because it's a seed. Seed time of harvest. Kingdom of God is if a man should plant seed in his heart. Seed. It's not difficult. I'm going to find the seeds of my needs. Seed of your need. Well, you're saying that I can just go into the Bible and find things that I need? He said, my God shall supply all your need according to the poverty of the ghetto. Now, my God shall supply your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ has brand new tennis shoes on. That's a joke. He's got brand new sandals. Or he's got brand new military boots. Whatever Jesus is wearing, because, you know, he's coming back on as a champion, and he's decked out. Jesus is decked out. Christians, one of the things we need deliverance from is poverty mentality. poverty, lack, insufficiency, suffering. You know where the suffering is legit? Standing on the word. When you see a scripture and you're over here and it looks like there's no way this can happen, you stand on the word. There's some time that it takes for seeds to plant, germinate, pop up, begin to grow. I see some fruit. But finally, when the harvest has come, immediately he puts in the sickle because I'm going to enjoy the seed that was planted. Christians, this is the seed of God's word. It's incorruptible seed. If I start finding the things I want, if I stop searching the world, if I stop searching the internet, and I start searching the scriptures for the things that I need, for the things that I want, for the things that I want for me, myself, I, my family. It sounds selfish, but hey, you got to get right first before you can help anybody else. But as you're growing, as you're developing, as things are happening, now you start finding seeds for your family, your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, your siblings, or your boss and your job. Your job! My job! I hate my job! Well, guess what a seed will do? A seed will spring, grow forth, and bring forth harvest. What's the harvest? A new job, a promotion, increase, victory, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The word works. The word works. It's the seed of your need. Whosoever shall... the word is if a man should... I got to check the clock here. Oh, wow. I was having fun. The word is if a man should cast seed into the ground or a woman. The women are probably more faithful and diligent than the men. But so what? We're changing. We're growing. The kingdom of God, that's what we're in. You are a part of the kingdom of God. As if a person should take seed, cast it into the ground of their heart, should sleep and rise night and day, the seed will grow up. He knows not how. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. And when the harvest is brought forth, look at this harvest. What do you do? Oh, I wish I could have some of that harvest. It's yours. Take it. Chop it down. Bring it to market. Cash it in. Enjoy it. Party with the dinner and give some away to the church and give some away to organizations and sow and reap and bless and give and work the system that God created. Whosoever shall cast seed into the ground shall sleep and rise. The seed will grow in spring and grow up. He knows not how. First that blade, then that ear. What's that mean? You gotta wait. First the blade, then the ear. Then the full corn in the ear. Have you ever ate raw corn? Yuck. Raw corn isn't any good. It's beautiful. Look at that beautiful ear of corn. It's this big and it's covered. No, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. And when the harvest is brought forth, put in the sickle and boil that piece of corn. And then you got bushels and bushels and tractors full and more seed. And you plant seed, and you stand, and you harvest, and pretty soon you're planting seed, and pretty soon it's a cycle of plant, harvest, plant, growth, harvest, and a Christian life could be that way for anybody who will take God at his word. Plant the seed. Hold fast your profession of faith without wavering, for his faithful that promised, and harvest the blessing of God. And what things that you put your hands to can prosper. These are promises, and promises don't happen without faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You aren't going to be able to operate in this system of kingdom finance and kingdom and blessing and kingdom favor without the word. So guess what? Full circle. You got to be a word person. You've got to be a person of the word. You got to shut off the TV and your favorite sitcom or whatever. You got to shut off some of your favorite things to do, and you need to get in the word, and you need to start. Again, start with Psalms and Proverbs. Proverbs is one-liners. Psalms is one small chapter. And then pretty soon you're hungry and you go back to everything Jesus talked about, and then you go to what Paul talked about. Pretty soon you're a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And guess what's happening? Your seeds are growing up and they're producing, and your life has changed because you're a doer of the word, not a hearer only. That is kingdom principles, and it can work for every single Christian. God's kingdom, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, as if a woman should cast seed into the ground. It's for everybody to do. It wasn't just, oh yeah, there's a certain group of people that do that. No, everybody's supposed to do it. How many Christians actually do you think do that? We need to be doers of the word. It can work for every single person in this room. Every one of you people watching, bros and sisters, be a doer of the word. Find scriptures, plant them in your heart, water them, washing of water by the word. Stay in the word. Those seeds will spring and grow up. He knows not how. Again, for the last time, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Where is that found? Mark chapter 4, the sower, parable of the sower. Might be the most important thing there is to learn about the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, well, I'm out of breath, Pastor Nancy, you can take over. Oh, you got to remind me of that. I forgot. We are going to receive communion. It's a blessing. So ushers, if you want to come forward, and do you have any comments before we begin to pass out the elements? Please step in if you know it, which you would. That's ours.
For being doers of the word, repenting, humbling yourself, coming out of darkness, stepping more and more into the kingdom of light. We want to be doers of the word. Amen.
Yeah. All right, as we pass out the communion, does everybody have theirs already?
No, they haven't.
All right, we need to wait a second. So let's do, who's doing it?
Dolores, if someone can help her. Terry, oh, okay, they're coming.
Thank you. You know, as we wait on the elements, go ahead and pass them out, and any system you choose, communion is absolute. It's a part of being a Christian. And the key to communion is examining ourselves, for one, to see what our heart is saying to us. I'm examining and I'm scrolling through. I'm not looking for trouble, but God can let us know the things that need to be adjusted or corrected or changed or repented of and left behind. So that's what we do, because we don't want to take communion for granted. Because this represents the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And the wafers represent the body of his that was broken when he suffered on the way to the cross and on the cross for you and I. And we know that story. We hear it at Easter time all the time. But communion is a reminder continually that we put God first place. We recognize his body. We recognize his blood. The blood of Jesus washes away my sin. And Pastor Nancy, you got any comments about communion that are vital? You always have something. Say what you think.
Well, it's one of the most important things that we can do.
No, that was a good point right there.
When we honor the blood.
Honor the blood.
We honor what Jesus did.
Absolutely.
For us. And for me, it's always been a time to examine my heart and to make the changes that I know I need to make. It's like a point of contact that I can let go of whatever has happened. And I can choose to move forward in a greater way.
This is not religion. This is spirituality. This is holiness in the perfect communion of the blood and the body of Christ. He's perfect. Obviously, we're not. And therefore, we partake of communion to put ourselves in remembrance of the body that was broken for us and put ourselves in remembrance. It's called the precious blood of Jesus. What is the most valuable substance in the universe to the Father? Man, you're getting close when you hold up your cup to the most precious thing in the universe, the blood of Jesus. All right, we're not in a hurry. Father, we thank you for these communion elements. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for the body. We thank you for the saints that are assembled. Father, we pray for those that are watching at home that they are participating in communion too. God, we thank you for what you did. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what you will do in our lives. We believe something good is going to happen. We are children of yours that are partaking in communion. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You want to take one? And he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do it in remembrance of me. In the same, in the same manner, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. Amen. All right, I'm going to let you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for communion. Thank you for your word, Father. We honor you this morning. Thank you for your people. We pray for your hand of blessing. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. You lead us and guide us into all truth. We thank you for helping us, Lord. Thank you for your blessing. We honor you in Jesus' name today. Amen. Amen. We'll receive the offering before we dismiss this morning. And Pastor already talked to us about seed time and harvest. And offering time is a time to plant some seed into the kingdom of God. We don't look at the finances in this church. Pastor Steve and I don't. Giving is between you and God. And so we always want to honor God in give an opportunity for people to honor God in the offering. And so we will pray over that, and then ushers will receive the offering. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to give and to sow into the kingdom. You take the seeds that we sow and you multiply them. Father, you multiply them. You said that you would provide bread for food and seed to sow more. And so, Father, thank you for meeting the needs of every person in this church. Thank you, Lord, for increasing the fruits of our righteousness. We purpose to use, Father, in this church every penny that comes in to further your kingdom and to further your work. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You talked a lot about coming out of darkness into the light and different things. And so communion, we probably should just pray the prayer of salvation. Probably should have done that first before communion. So let's just believe, God, that you are all saved. Say, Jesus is my Lord. Father God, we come to you this morning. We humble ourselves and we thank you for the opportunity for salvation. God, I pray that each one of us would do that on a regular basis, not to get saved or born again, but that we would humble ourselves and put you first in everything that we do. We honor you. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.